It's the Black Canvas.
But you know, like we tell you all the time, you don't have to wait till a new year to start a new beginning. You go ahead and actually start it today or last week.
I got a lot of people on TV talk about, man, it's a new year, you know, it's a new me. It's like, nigga, it's the same old you.
With DC ST.
The whole 10 minutes, the manager kept on asking me, like, man, you want me to call an ambulance? I'm like, you want me to call an ambulance? And I was like, no, no, yes. That's why they always got it. They got to get rid of all of our leaders, man, and then, like, throw more dumb shit in our face to distract us, man.
Like Chanel purses. Presented by For Real.
Jordans. Where the ceiling is the roof.
And now, ECST.
1-877 cars for kids. Donate your cars today. No, man, I've heard that shit so much, man. Like it's so catchy though, man. What's up with you?
Yeah. What's going on, EC? How you feeling, man?
I'm feeling good. Hey, you know, I was thinking about. I was like, if I was ever going to be in the movie Purge, like that's a song I'll be singing as I come down the street with like a shotgun. Here come EC. He was even like in the corner, like shaking, like 1-877 cups for kids.
It's kind of like, what's that one joint from? Was it Walking Dead? Yeah, Walking Dead. Yeah, they kept playing the. I think it was like a happy song or whatever over and over again.
DC Street.
Yeah.
Feel so sweet. No, I would have, because I'm the kind of person that likes that kind of stuff. So when I was in solitary confinement, I probably was singing along with that bitch. Real easy street. Like, you can't break me, devil. You can't break me. And then the whole time behind the door, like,
crying.
And you. Like, yeah, just, you like, you screaming, all he is like, damn, he tough. And then behind the door, it's like snot, tears, going down the back. You can't pay me. Oh, man, but man, how was your past weekend, man?
Man, it was pretty straight, man. I had to go, man, I was feeling kind of in a nostalgic mood, man. So I went and bought a whole bunch of old PS3 games, man. Yeah, I went and bought Red Dead Redemption.
Okay.
The Mass Effect trilogy. What else I get? San Andreas.
Oh yeah, that's my shit.
And then also, man, you know, just I guess like the whole entire month of April, nigga, I was going to Wendy's every day, and
what
I was
what was you getting?
Well, I was buying a salad.
Okay.
So. You know, I think it's the apple pecan salad that they have. So I was like, man, I need to stop wasting my money. So what I did was I went to, you know, of course I went to the store and I bought my own stuff. You know, pretty much everything that they made in the salad, I pretty much brought it home and made my own that way. So I can stop going there and spending all my money. Kind of got to be smart now. So with our money, we can't afford to, you know, jack off no more now that, you know, this new regime is here, so.
New world order in this bitch.
Yeah.
How did that shit go? How did that song go, New World Order, for wrestling?
Damn.
Hell yeah, that was that shit, man.
Yeah,
oh yeah, man, you gonna get Red Dead Redemption when it come out for the PS4 end of this year?
Number two.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. We'll see.
They ain't got anything out for it, but, you know, everybody.
I know.
Rockstar could just put out. Rockstar, people that don't know Rockstar Games is a studio that makes Grand Theft Auto, Red Dead Redemption, and the other multi-million dollar games, man. Mm-hmm. They make billions of dollars, and they put, like, two games out every, like, 3 to 5 years. They're so popular, and they have so much acclaim. That they could put out another Grand Theft Auto, name the city, and don't show us shit, and we will buy it. That's how much of a track. That's how much of a track record they have now. Real quick story. I'll never forget the time. Freshman year of college, Vice City came out. Just my fucking age. Vice City came out, man, and I didn't have a car yet. And so I like looked up on MapQuest. That's showing how really old I am. I looked on MapQuest to see how far like walking distance it is from my dorm to what was it, Stonecrest Mall? Whatever the name of the mall was. Stone River's Mall. Yeah. I walked from my dorm all the way to Stone River's Mall and back and bought Vice City. And when I got back, that's back about when I was fat. I had a rash in between my thighs for a week because I had walked so far, dude. I was like, I can't believe I did this shit, dude.
It was worth it.
Hell yeah, man. I played all night, man. Yeah, speaking of which, man, what was your favorite? I know my least favorite Grand Theft Auto. What's your favorite Grand Theft Auto?
Man, I think 4 was probably my favorite.
4 was what, Nikolai?
Yeah, Niccolo Bellic.
Yeah, Niccolo Bellic, yeah.
Yeah, that was my joint. I just wish it was. I wish it had been more. I guess. I wish you could have bought more. I guess, like with your money.
Yeah.
Like this one, like this past one was cool because, you know, the stocks and everything. Like that was fun. I like that. But I think, I don't know, it was just certain elements of 5 that I like better.
Exactly.
And then some elements of 4 that I like better.
Somebody was complaining, man. There's one dude was reviewing the game. He was complaining, talking about, I didn't like how, he said he didn't like how you switch between 3 players at once. He kind of wanted to just, like, go through one person's story and not switch between 3. I like to switch between all 3, between Trevor, and the other dude.
Yeah, I kind of do too. It was different, but I would guess for, I guess, the rest of the series, they won't do that again.
Yeah, I think that was an experiment.
Yeah, that's what I think so.
And I think a lot of people, mostly, like, I said they took a poll, it wouldn't be like 20% people saying they liked it compared to people saying they hated it. Yeah. I think all of them had distinct stories. I know why they probably did it, because they probably couldn't get a big enough story for one character and make it interesting.
Yeah, probably.
That's probably exactly why they did that. But man, my favorite shit. My favorite probably was 5, and then it would be San Andreas.
Yeah.
And my least favorite is probably like 3. I didn't like 3 at all.
Really?
Yeah, I did not care for 3.
Why not?
I guess it's like revision is like, I guess it's like hindsight, looking back at it now.
Yeah.
Seeing how far they've come.
Yeah.
When I played, I didn't have as much fun as I did, like I had in previous games. Like, cause I will say this, in 5, I think I spent the most time just like running around doing crazy shit in San Andreas. compared to any of the other ones, because you know you can be fat, you can get muscular.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can pretty much have like a jetpack. You can I think the first time you could it was the first time they had like multiple cities and you could fly jets over them, like multiple cities within the game. It's like a bigger game compared to the other ones.
But
yeah, man, like I'm looking for I didn't play Red Dead Redemption, so what I'm gonna do is what they're gonna have a remastered version. Yeah. I'll play the remastered version and then when the new one come out, I'll play that shit. Okay. All right, we can get out these games real quick. Let's go ahead and get to the NFL draft, man. How much of the draft you watch?
I pretty much watched all the way up till about, I think, about the 5th round.
That's normal. That's what most people do.
Yeah, and then after that, I got shit to do. Yeah, it was pretty much solidified as far as, you know, where people were going and, you know, what really mattered, but. It's pretty good. It definitely surprising, that's for sure.
You could say that shit again, dude. Like, I was over my boy Jay House, and right when the trade happened between the 49ers and the Bears, I was like, okay, they come up to get Solomon Thomas, or they're gonna jump the Jaguars and get Leonard Fournette.
Yeah.
And when I saw the motherfuckers draft Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah.
I said, what the fuck, dog? Yeah. This is the beginning of the end for John Fox?
Yeah.
And that GM, because reports came out that said The GM did not tell John Fox what he was doing with that pick for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And John Fox found out what we found out.
Yeah. Well, I thought they said he found out maybe minutes before.
Yeah, minutes before the draft.
Yeah, minutes before the draft started. So.
It was like, we gonna do what? It was like, did we just sign like Mike Glennon to a deal? Like, turn the card in. What? And then they said it was a whole bunch of infighting. In the draft room. So this is the beginning of the end for Fox. Like, the other way John Fox could stay, should they have to make the playoffs this year, which is not going to happen. And they have to at least get past the first round. Or Fox is going to have to coach up Trubisky. And I'm talking about Trubisky's going to have to like throw like 4,000 yards, 50 touchdowns, and like maybe like 10 picks for him to keep the job, man. But this reminds me a lot of Jeff Fisher and
Jared Goff.
Jared Goff, man.
Yeah.
Like, you try to plug him in, the shit didn't work. It was like bye bye. Man, I don't think
it was that. I think with Jared Goff, it's just, well, Jeff Fisher has his staff, they kind of have a bad rap for being able to develop a quarterback. So, and I think that's what it was. Jared Goff wasn't ready in the beginning.
Yeah.
So, you know, for him to be, you know, the number one pick and he not even be able to read an NFL defense or do something as simple as progress through his, you know, his reads.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of bad. They've never been good at developing rookie quarterbacks. So I think what that was with this Bears situation, though. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's just the GM. He wanted to do his own thing. Maybe he's under maybe he feels that he's under so much pressure. So he figures he has to get a game changer right here and right now. And, you know, I think he fell for the hype. Just, you know, based simply off, you know, Mitchell Trubisky being, you know, I guess hot for like 15 minutes. Cause I don't see it. I don't understand why they would sign a quarterback, Mike Glennon, for the money, for the amount of money that they signed him for, and then turn back around and draft the quarterback in the first round. Maybe, I don't know, maybe they're trying to do, maybe they're trying, they, maybe they want Mitchell Trubisky to be Aaron Rodgers of the future of the Bears. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. Maybe they're giving Mike Glennon 3 years to, you know, to lead the charge.
They gave
the youngin. So,
yeah.
You know, I don't know.
They gave up all that.
Yes, they did.
He ain't sitting, man. He gonna sit maybe 1 year, or he might just sit until the bye week, homie. If it's not going well.
Mm-hmm.
And another trade, like all them quarterbacks went like back to back to back. The quarterback in the best position is Patrick Mahomes. Because you know for sure he's going to at least sit 2 years behind Alex Smith. That's a Super Bowl team. Like, ain't no way in hell they're going to just be like, let's scrap Alex and let's go straight to Patrick Mahomes. And Patrick Mahomes is not ready.
He's in the
best position. Deshaun Kizer is fucked. He went to the Browns. He's screwed. Deshaun Watson, Ashley, is in a second-best position.
Deshaun Watson, to be honest, I think Deshaun's in the best position. Because his whole team is built.
I don't think he's ready though, but he has the best team around him.
He may not be ready, but he has the best team around him.
Yep.
Offense, defense, and special teams. Like Kansas City is straight on defense. They packed on defense. Like offense, they got Jeremy Maclin and and they just lost, you know, Jamal Charles. They just let him go. So, I don't know. Like, as far as an entire team outlook, I think Deshaun Watson's in the best position. Because, to be honest, if you put Tony Romo on the Texans, they could win the Super Bowl today.
Yeah.
If you put Tony Romo on the Chiefs, I don't know if they could win the Super Bowl today. Because I don't really know if they have the offensive weapons to compensate for his talent. But I think Deshaun Watson's in the best position.
Yeah, if he could just go in and learn that playbook, it's just a thing about man. This is the thing that coaches are fucking up these young quarterbacks. These coaches are fucking up these young quarterbacks by just throwing them into a system that they cannot play under. Yeah. That's why coaches like Kyle Shanahan is a head coach.
Yeah.
That's why coaches like Adam Gase are head coaches, because they go ahead and tailor the offense around that player, like Adam Gase did with Tim Tebow, how he did with Peyton Manning. That's two different spectrums. He's not going to the playoffs. Adam Gase knows what he's doing, and he's somewhat doing it with Ryan Tannehill in Miami.
Nah, I wouldn't say all that.
Yeah. He did it with Jay Cutler until Jay Cutler got hurt. So he's a quarterback whisperer that doesn't get – he gets enough credit. People talk about him enough. There's a thing, man. Bill O'Brien's not changing his system for anybody. His system that he's running is what Tom Brady runs.
Yeah, and that's the thing, though. But the thing about Bill O'Brien is I think Bill O'Brien's a good enough coach to bring along anybody. He's an offensive coach who can he's somewhat of a quarterback whisperer, too. The only difference is his quarterbacks that he's been getting just haven't had the measurables to get it done.
They nut shrink in the playoffs.
Yeah, basically.
It's just like, man, like the whisperers were called to a halt in the playoffs. Brian Hoyer threw them four picks.
And, you know, they should have just saw that from when he was with Cleveland. Like, you don't pick up no ex-Cleveland quarterback. No,
man. And then he on the 49ers, man. How does he keep getting work?
I know. I know. I don't understand it either.
I do not understand it, man. But, man, the Baltimore Ravens, man, this is the thing. Like, I'm trying to find a good analogy for it. You know when you see, like, a glaring weakness in yourself?
Yeah.
You go overboard with trying to cover up that weakness. Let's say you got, like, let's say you got crooked eyes and, like, a fucked up nose.
Yeah.
So you go ahead and just, you know, get all the money that you can and try to fix your nose up, and then you try to fix your eyes up as best you can, where everything just looks like that, but your teeth fucked up too. The thing we did, man, we had the 17th ranked defense last year. We went straight defense, man, for the first four rounds, and we did not get a wide receiver whatsoever, man. And we wanted to get Corey Davis. But the motherfucker went to the Titans with the fifth pick. I was crushed, ST. I was crushed. I was like, no. And then the Bengals, and we'll get on them motherfuckers in a minute.
Yep.
They've got Ross.
Yep.
I was like, I thought we could at least get John Ross, man. You know, like, we're going to talk about the Bengals draft in a minute, but the Bengals draft, this is Marvin Lewis. This is last chance. Like, motherfucker, if I'm gonna go, I'm gonna go out swinging. This is what this draft was.
Yep.
We went straight, man. We went all defense, and the guys that we picked up are great pass rushers. But our first round pick will not get on the field this year because we're all set in the secondary. Our second and third round pick will touch the field if they can beat out who we have on the field now. And then the linemen are gonna have to be plugged into play, and they were like fourth and fifth rounders. So, man, this was a decent draft. This is the kind of draft where I'll look on it like in the middle of the season, and we have like a top 10 defense, and I'll just look at my team, and then like just like shake my head, like turn my head to the side and shake my head like, he knew what he was doing. He got it. But as of right now, it's just kind of just like, man, you know, I don't know, man, you got to get Flacco weapons. And then Flacco came out like a week before the draft and said, we don't need weapons. And I was like, man, shut the fuck up. Yeah. Like, dude, I talked about this shit last week. Like, dude, we need weapons, and we didn't get any. And we signed a whole bunch of like unrestricted rookie free agents, man, that won't make the team. It was like we got like people like three wide receivers. They like got the height, weight, and speed, but all of them, I researched them. Like, the most of them just are inconsistent, can't catch the ball. But what you think about? You're just a fan of the draft. Like, what you think about like the popular players? Like, do you think Christian McCaffrey is going to fit with the Panthers, or you think he should have gone somewhere else?
I think it's a good look because it gives them an extra attack. And it also boosts that running game, man. Because, I mean, let's face it, they needed some help. Cam needs more weapons, dude.
Like, he
you know, for the longest, I think for like the first 4 or 5 years of his career, only person he had was Greg Olsen.
Yeah.
He needed something. And, you know, with Ted Ginn gone, who was kind of inconsistent.
He cost the game. He could have caught that pass over the middle. He dropped that shit.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
I think they could definitely use help in the receiving ranks.
Yeah.
Because the, I don't know, the guys that they have are just too inconsistent. And, you know, them beefing up that defensive line again after getting rid of Coney Ealy, that was, you know, I guess we'll see how that turns out. But, yeah, I think overall, I don't know, they needed help on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, they did. This, now, you know who really, really liked that Christian McCaffrey pick?
Who's that?
Jonathan Stewart.
Oh, yeah.
Because those are two different kind of backs.
Yeah.
Leonard Fournette would have gone to the Panthers like I wanted him to.
Yeah.
Peace out, nigga. He'd have been gone. Yeah. That's how I really wanted, man. Leonard Fournette with Cam Newton would have been crazy.
Yeah.
That shit would have been crazy, man. But you know what division got real dynamic? NFC South. Look at all the weapons that Jameis got, man.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus.
They went ham, dude.
Yes, the Buccaneers put in work.
They finna be right.
Yeah, man. They got DeSean Jackson, Mike Evans. They got O.J. Howard.
Yes.
And O.J. Howard run like a 4.5.
Yeah.
He can block.
How he failed that far is beyond me.
Dude, like, when all he played was star, the reason they failed was because of the quarterbacks going. And I was pissed off when we passed up on Reuben Foster. I was pissed off when we passed up on like two or three dudes I wanted. O.J. Howard, I wanted him. But we had like eight tight ends, so.
Yeah.
Shit, we ain't gonna do it.
Y'all usually stack up on tight ends every year. So.
Yeah, we do, man. We got like, cause we did sign Benjamin Watson, so it does make sense why we didn't pick him.
Yeah.
Then I remember Ozzie saying, like, out of all the prospects on the board at that time, he was the cleanest one as far as medical, off-the-field issues, and on-the-field issues, the cleanest player out of the three. Because I know Reuben Foster has a shoulder issue that's going to linger into this season.
Yep.
And they say he might need surgery this year. So that's why we didn't take him. If he didn't have that issue, we would have taken him, man, because he's like, he Patrick Willis 2.0, and he's going straight to the 49ers. Yep. But let's go ahead and get to it, man. Dog, what'd you think about the Bengals picking up Mixon?
I think it's warranted. They needed it. They needed it bad. I think so. Don't get me wrong. Jeremy Hill and what's the other kid?
Bernard.
Yeah, Bernard. Like, yeah, they are hype, but I don't think they were. I don't think they were hitting it. Like, they needed to make their offense a bit more dynamic, and this is going to help them. This is going to help, the quarterback.
Andy Dalton?
Yeah, this is going to make Andy Dalton a whole lot better as far as, you know, a scheme, like attacking the defense. And it's probably the perfect place for Joe Mixon to go, to be totally honest. Because, you know, it's not too big of a city, but it's big enough so that, you know, he can, you know, do his thing. And hopefully stay out of trouble. But, you know, as they were saying, you know, everybody within the community in Oklahoma, they were saying that, you know, he's pretty much a good guy. So it's just that one incident, you know, in which, you know, he allowed his anger to take over. And, you know, unfortunately, some young lady had to suffer the consequences for that. And so did he.
Yeah, he did. So, yeah, because I was watching the NFL Network interview that he had with Judy Batista, and she asked him, how are you going to make amends with the community for what you've done? Because it's going to follow you throughout your whole career. He was like, man, like my job is really not to prove them wrong.
Yeah.
It's just to be who I am.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If people out there worse than that is going to be judging this dude.
Yeah.
That's probably beat up on women constantly, but it just wasn't on camera.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing, man. Like, I think that's really actually kind of hyperbole.
Mm-hmm.
I think once you get into if you made mistakes in the past and you get in the NFL and you ball out, like, your past ceases to exist until you do something else. that makes them go back. Oh yeah, see, we told you, but
Kobe.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
If Mixon gets in here and is a sub 1600 yard runner every year, man, they not gonna be thinking about what he did in college. I'm telling you that right now. They not gonna think about it. Cause already, look at Tyreek Hill from the Chiefs.
Yep.
He was punished for the same thing. He ran back, like 3 or 4 kickoffs back. They ain't thinking about Tyreek no more. They was like, man, Tyreek is a good player. You know, he knows how to, you know, get his teammates hype around him. They don't talk about that no more. So if you can come into the NFL and succeed after your past transgressions, man, we ain't thinking about that. You just better do a good job of making sure that you don't step in it no more. So that's how that works, man.
That's pretty much it, man. You hit the nail on the head, man. If he balls out, everybody, like, even women that have a Joe Mixon jersey. Yeah. Like, let's say it's 4th and 1, and it's the first round of the playoffs, and he's the one that runs it in and sends them to the semifinal round. Yeah. They were like, man, we love you, Joe!
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what did he do? What did he do 4 years ago? I think he jaywalked. Like, they were... He didn't do nothing. And then the girl got paid off too, and she even like put out a letter saying, "Man, let's both move past this, because that was the money talking. Let's both move past this, and I wish you the best in the future, because I know she got broke off."
Oh yeah, come on, man.
How much did she got, man? Did she got?
She probably got about $2 million, maybe something like that.
At least close to that. She's talking about to go to grad school. Grad school paid for, and she ain't gotta go to grad school. She's smart. She can invest that shit. Not even go to grad school. Waste her fucking money.
Pretty much.
Hell yeah, man, but. I think Mixon going to the Bengals is funny to me, man, because, you know, Bengals have always had a rep of, like, taking in, like, bad players.
Yeah.
Because they were, like, the Oakland Raiders of the old.
Yeah.
And then, like, a couple of years ago, like, they would always take on bad players.
Yep.
But like I said before in the beginning of the podcast, man, like, this is Marvin Lewis, like, this is his last stance. He like, man, if I'm going to go out, I'm going to go out swinging with as many weapons as I can. Like, man, because I was talking to Jay at the draft. I was like, man, the AFC North got so many weapons. We need these DBs. Yeah. This is like, oh, yeah. What's up with, dang it. Who did the Steelers drafted a wide receiver and then Martavis Bryant and Sammy Coates. Yeah, you read that junk?
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah, it was on NFL Network. They were going back and forth about how he was Juju Smith to replace one of their jobs. He was like, "It's not mine. I just got back."
I know, he can't even talk shit, man. He just he's suspended for weed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so if he don't watch himself, he's gonna be suspended again or kicked all the way out.
Yeah, but he is right, man. Like, Juju is replacing Sammy Coates, because you can't replace what Martavius does. Martavius is like straight burner, son.
Yes,
straight up speed. Burner. No, what? What we gonna do against all that shit? What we gonna do? Like, AJ Green and Ross, that dude run a 4.42.
Yeah.
And we did the right thing bolstering our secondary, because we knew this shit was coming, man.
Mm-hmm.
And we're gonna see. They're gonna pick on Jimmy Smith, man. Jimmy Smith, I suppose, man. Hey, I'm so much I hate Jimmy. Dog, man. Well, we extended that bastard out cussed. No, oh, man, but anything else before we wrap up the draft talk? Mr. Irrelevant was funny. He got screwed. It's better not to go. It's better to not even get drafted if you can be the last pick. At least you can go. You can pick where you go.
But I think they set it up, though. They kind of give you some kind of special package. But, like, they give you, like...
your parade.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Money and all that other stuff. Cause, you know, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
I would rather be made fun of, you know, made a joke out of, and then still try to, you know, get on the team and, you know, secure my spot than to, you know, not have been picked at all and then try to have to, you know, find my way onto a team. I guess it just depends on the person.
But the cool thing, in my opinion, the cool thing about being an undrafted free agent is – Number one, you get to actually see everybody they drafted, everybody's on the depth chart, and then you can see where you maybe you could fit and maybe have a chance to make the squad. And then number two, they do pay you signing bonuses. They pay undrafted free agents signing bonuses to get them to come, especially if like team bidding on you. Yeah. Like the most I've seen is like $25,000 that they give you. That's like the max signing bonus for undrafted free agents. And then they pay your fees to try out for the team. Because that shit ain't free just to try out for the team. It's a lot. Because it's like equipment, travel, all that other shit. Yeah. They pay for that as well. But people need to understand, half of NFL rosters every year has undrafted free agents on it.
Yep.
Malcolm Butler was undrafted free agent.
Yes, he was.
Who else? Victor Cruz.
I think a quarter of the league.
Quarter of the league is always undrafted, yeah.
Yeah, it's comprised of undrafted
free agents. You know why? That hunger, son.
Exactly. They come in and they ball out. That's the reason why that show Undrafted is, you know, in existence, because they get in there and they don't take, you know, they don't take their opportunity for granted. You know, these second and third round picks who, you know, get cut because they, you know, not looking over their shoulder and, you know, being complacent.
Yep.
And that's what happens.
You see a fucking beast in the bushes coming to take that shit.
Yep.
And Kurt Warner was undrafted free agent. Look, he about to go in the Hall of Fame this year.
Yep.
Yeah, dude. It's all about that hunger. Because I remember he put out a post. He was like, man, if you don't get drafted, he was just like, hey, just know that you can go from being undrafted to being a Super Bowl champion to being going into the Hall of Fame. It's all about how you finish and not about how you start.
Yep.
And that's about everything in life. And then our safety on the Ravens, Tony Jefferson, he was an undrafted free agent. Look at him now. He getting paid by us, 3-year deal. Making that guap.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, man. So I'm more interested in seeing like training camp. I'm looking forward to see who comes through a training camp of balls out. That's what I'm really looking forward to, man.
Who's flourishing, yep.
Yeah, those are more interesting than like the dudes you know that's gonna play good, like the Leonard Fournette's, and McCaffrey's and Corey Davis, all them. You know they're gonna be decent.
Yeah.
But man, speaking of high draft picks, man. I was watching Outside the Line real quick until we get off football. I watched Outside the Line, and they had a special on Ryan Leaf.
I think I saw that.
You saw that shit, man?
Yeah.
That shit fucking crazy, dude. Yeah. How he was on opioids.
Yeah.
And how he went to jail for a couple years, and like he just got out, and now he's just like talking about his sobriety, and just talking about he's trying to help people. And he was talking about the last appearance he made on ESPN. Before he went to jail, because he was, like, trying to promote a book. Mm-hmm. And he, like, looked Bob Levy in the eyes. He was like, man, that whole time I was here, going from show to show, I was just straight lying to everybody, just trying to sell a book.
Wow.
He was just like, man, I hadn't changed. I was the same asshole. He was just like, the one thing that he said that stuck with me was he said, man, I felt like I was above everybody once I had the fame and the money. I saw everybody as ants, and everybody seemed insignificant to me.
Well, and we saw that, as during his playing career.
Yeah, then when he yelled at the reporter.
Yeah, we saw that already. We knew.
Yeah. So I tell you, man, we're going to see some sad stories, man, because every time I watch like an old, like on a Saturday one all in the offseason in the NFL, you see like, hey, rookie, welcome to the NFL. It'd be like a 2013 edition.
Yeah.
I never get a time of watching like 2012 edition. I was like, man, he out the league. He out the league. He out the league. He a backup.
Yep.
It's the same thing's going to happen, man, with the this 2015 class, man. Because the 2011 class, I think the whole, all 32 of the players in the 2011 class are either not with their team or they're out the league. And I think like five of them are still producing, dude.
What, Cam, J.J. Watt. What is his name from the Broncos?
Was it a running back?
No, the linebacker. The corny nigga.
Von Miller?
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, Von Miller. He corny as hell. He got like a Super Bowl 50 tattoo on his whole damn leg. I can't do that shit, man. I don't care if I won that job. The ring is enough.
Yeah, that's all right.
The ring is enough, man.
Hopefully it don't get stolen.
Yeah, I know. That's enough. But, yeah, man, I enjoyed the draft. I'm looking forward to rookie mini camp. Hopefully nobody gets injured. Mm-hmm. It's usually somebody gets injured every rookie mini camp.
Yep.
Every single time somebody tears the ACL, man, it'd be like a top 10 pick, too.
Yeah, I was about to say, hopefully it's not a...
McCaffrey, man.
Yeah.
It's just weekend, too. Hopefully it ain't McCaffrey, dude.
Yeah.
Well, poor Nett. Are they trying to stick too hard?
Mm-hmm. Got trying to do too much. And you showing out in front of your teammates.
Hell yeah, man. Ain't got time for that shit. Make it to the fucking season. But welcome to another episode of the Blank Canvas Podcast. We are a weekly topical podcast that comes on every Wednesday, 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on your favorite podcasting services, iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, and Audio Mac. And you can also follow us on your favorite social media sites. That's Twitter at Blank Canvas ECST, and also on Instagram at Blank Canvas ECST, and Facebook at the same address. So, STD, so you try to bring back one of our old segments that we, you know, did one time and then we, you know, we stopped doing it.
And we never really brought it back up either. It was just kind of like something that just kind of fell into obscurity.
It was
just...
it was a good idea. Yeah, it was a really good idea that you brought up too.
It was just, you know, I don't know, all of a sudden, I think we did it for like, what, two weeks in a row, and then it just kind of fell off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, I guess in lieu of the news, we just going to just come back with the bullshit side note of the week.
And without further ado, let's get into the show.
Let's go!
It's the bullshit side note of the week. Yeah, baby. Come on in. The water's fine.
Dog, you know what is bullshit, dude?
What's that?
How we would bring this up, man, how Ed Water was asked to cover the draft after he got fired.
Yeah.
So people that don't know, Ed Water is a reporter for ESPN, and everybody knows if you watch sports or if you live on a rock, like ESPN just purged pretty much the whole staff.
Mm-hmm.
And so right after he got fired, he said he was sitting in his hotel room. He got a call from one of his executives. He was like, hey, we can go ahead and fly you out to New Orleans. You can cover this because you cover the Saints for us for the NFL draft. And he said he kind of looked at the phone and was like, are you serious? Like, I'm fired. Like, why would I want to work and you fire me? He's like, oh, we'll pay you for your time and all this. He's like, man, it didn't feel right doing that, knowing I'm going to be unemployed right afterwards. Just let me leave with some dignity.
Yeah.
And then another thing that's telling, and I think this is the beginning of the end for ESPN. We need to always remember this purging that they had.
Yep.
He said, it was real interesting. He said that he doesn't know the direction that ESPN is going in because he always thought it was supposed to be about journalistic integrity and trying to like follow stories. But it seems like he said they're trying to get away from that. And they're just trying to hire personalities just to talk. Just have hot takes.
Yeah.
And he said that's the direction it's going. And he said, I don't think that direction is going to be fruitful for them in the long run. Because if you think about it, everybody that stayed are people that yell.
Yeah.
People that have hot takes and people that are controversial. Like Dan Le Batard.
Yeah.
Stu Gotts. Stephen A. Smith. I like Max Kellerman. He's not really a hot take guy. He just real smart. He just kind of just tells it like it is.
And the thing is, if you don't know what a hot take is basically a high powered opinion. That's basically what it is. It's not really anything that's based upon factual increments of information. It's just a high powered opinion that somebody, I guess, an opinion that nobody else has come up with yet.
Yep. And it'll get a rise out of the public to get people talking.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all it is, man.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe they're trying to, they might be in a situation in which, you know, they're trying to get back, I guess, you know, get those high profile personalities on air so that they can get their ratings back up. But to be honest, man, I've actually been watching less and less of ESPN, not because of I guess them letting people go.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like the stuff that they've been coming up with hasn't really been moving the needle for me. Like it hasn't been interesting. Like I haven't watched Sports Center at 6 o'clock yet.
Dang, man. At the 6?
Yeah.
You watched the 6 with Bushmouth, Michael Smith.
Yeah, he's stupid. Yeah, I haven't watched that yet. So I don't know. I think the main reason why is because,
mm-hmm.
like, I was watching, I guess it was the preview for it, and they were saying that it's more than just sports. It's, you know, it's entertainment. It's movies. It's you know, superstars. It's like, I'm not watching SportsCenter for movies and entertainment, nigga. I'm watching SportsCenter for sports. It's in your name. Like, what are you doing? Like, why are you doing all this extra stuff? So, you know, ESPN, man, I think they're suffering from that NBA deal that they signed, you know, that TV deal that they signed a couple years ago. But I think that's what it is, man.
That's part of it, and then them building that new studio set them back, dude.
Yeah, it's like nobody's watching your channel for your set. Like, we're watching it for the people. And the main thing that you got people watching your channel for, you're getting rid of. So,
yep.
If anything, whoever built that set, you need to take all that stuff back to them. I don't think you would get anything for it, but...
No, depreciating the value.
Oh, yeah. Since they put the first nail in, it's like, okay, no refunds.
It's like all people that was getting fired. Yeah. I ain't gonna lie. One dude that got fired, I'm glad he did. Cause it's... No, I ain't gonna wish somebody get fired, but is it the Reese Wither, whatever his name is? That corny black dude? Let me look his name up, man. Cause there's a couple of dudes that I just can't stand. He's one of them. Another dude I just can't stand is Cole Wright from NFL Network. If I ever see him on the street, I'll slap the shit out of his ass. That motherfucker just so extra, man. I just hate extra people. Yeah, what's his name? Reese Withers. I think that's it. Reese Withers. ESPN. I'm just seeing. What's this dude name? It's a black dude. He would be like the fan correspondent guy. He's like kind of just like found a job for him, which is good for him. He was working, work on ESPN, but
yeah.
I don't know. Fuck the nigga name. I don't know. But y'all know what I'm talking about, man. He's just straight corny. And then, like, his segments weren't funny.
Yeah.
He was trying too hard. I didn't forget one time he took over ESPN's Twitter handle. And he was, like, trying to make jokes all throughout the night. And then somebody was like, man, give it up, man. Like, you a lame, man. Stop it. Just stop. And he was just like, man, y'all ain't no fun, man. Why y'all just hating? Y'all hating come over ESPN? Because it always goes back to that, like, I'm doing something you're not type shit.
Exactly. Like,
man, sometimes, man, you ain't funny.
Yeah, exactly.
The culture will rock with you, man, regardless.
Yeah, you just being you.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. But yeah, there are a lot of reasons why, you know, ESP is going down. And I don't know, can we really sit here and, like, list them all? Because, I mean, there's so many.
Like, you know what show is really garbage?
What's that?
Their pregame NBA show is hot.
Trash.
Baby shit, garbage. Yeah. Like, I can't watch it.
That's Michelle Beadle.
I hate Michelle Beadle, man. And Jalen.
Jalen Rose and Chauncey Billups.
Yeah, it just doesn't work, man.
Yeah.
I'm not even comparing them to the TNT crew because you can't, because they're the best crew for the NBA.
Yes, it is, man.
On their own merit, they just can't. They're boring.
Yeah,
they don't have any chemistry.
No.
And when it was okay is when Michael Wilbon and Magic was on together. Cause they had some sort of chemistry in there and they knew they were talking about, but just, they were just trying to find a job for Michelle Beadle cause Michelle Beadle left and came back.
Well, they had to get rid of Magic Johnson though, cause Magic Johnson, he's not a good speaker. He shouldn't be on TV speaking to anybody.
Cause he'd be like saying obvious shit. Yeah, but he need to be in that front office running the Lakers, man. Cause we gotta, I guess go get PG-3, PG-13, and go from there, which is not going to help much. But it's better than nothing.
Yeah, I guess so.
Damn, man. Well, we screwed. Yeah. Damn, man. didn't call me out, man? Why you didn't call me out, dog?
About what?
The bullshit moment of the week went to the wrong person. I just thought about it. You know what I'm talking about now, don't you? LeVar Ball, man.
Yeah.
Do you want to explain the situation or you want me to do it?
You go ahead, man, because I'm just going to be over here laughing.
Dude, all right. So LeVar Ball has the Big Baller brand. like outfit line, he wants to like pretty much like have his kids market when he goes to the league. How about he pitches this shit to Nike, Under Armour, and Adidas, and all three of them say, "Fuck you, nigga! Don't let the door hit you on the ass on the way out."
Yep.
Like he pretty much sabotaged his kids from getting the shoe deal, getting out of college, and he gonna be a top three pick.
Yep.
How you gonna talk yourself out of the deal? And the funniest thing I saw on Twitter was they showed LeVar Ball walking into like First Take.
Yeah.
And it said, LeVar Ball walking into Skechers. Like, what up? he bit off more than he could chew, man. And I guarantee you all three executives probably got together and said, fuck him. We ain't gonna, none of them gonna sign.
Yeah, so, they probably got on the conference call and said, look, we ain't gonna sign him if y'all don't sign him. So, yeah. And you know, just, I mean, it would have been okay. Cause I mean, what he's looking for is not out of the ordinary. It's not out of the ordinary. And it wouldn't have been that much. It wouldn't have been that much of, I guess, an outlier for the kind of contract that he was seeking. Because, you know, of course he was seeking that, codependent deal, like I guess it was kind of like a publishing deal with a for a record label. The only difference is
he was getting a huge cut on that shit.
Yeah.
And
you know, I don't think it would have been out of the ordinary. It's just the simple fact that LeVar Ball, simply put, is a nigga. And
you can't
be. A word of advice to all the black people out there who are trying to do like real life business. You can't be a nigga, like a straight up nigga, and think that you can walk into somebody's office and do business.
A corporate multi billion dollar industry.
Yes. Unless you have a product that commands the market that in which they absolutely have no choice but to do business with you. You can't be a boss all the time. And I think that's what it was. LeVar is too busy running his mouth trying to be a boss, and he don't even have an anthill to stand on for leverage.
Exactly. So, now, let's say if LeVar Ball was LeVar James, and he had LeBron when he was coming out of high school, then he would have had leverage. I think it would have went through because LeBron, his height was through the roof coming out of high school, dude. Mm-hmm. So he would have got signed. Point blank, period. I think they would have been more receptive coming to the table talking to him about the deal than with his son now. Because his son, they said like his ceiling, I forgot his ceiling was, but it was like some low level player. It wasn't even like a Magic or...
Nah.
Or like a Malone. It was like some like random dude. I was like, that's the ceiling? I was like, you want to be a Laker? I'm like, oh no.
Well, see, the thing is, and you never know, like one of these companies could still possibly, you know, actually bring him in for talks, but I'm
they are, like, cause if he balls out, if homeboy ball out, they're going to come up to the table. Don't worry.
Yeah. But the thing is, there are probably going to be conditions in which his father's not going to be able to be a part of the negotiations. And that's the thing. He's going to have to make a decision. All right. It's either, you know, you or your father. What's it going to be? And if he's smart, he's going to tell his daddy, yo, stay home. Let me get this check, you know, so we can build up a Big Baller brand on our own.
Yep.
Because, you know, we ain't going to get it done if you rolling with us, unless you want to, you know, go sign with Puma.
Yeah, I know. Had me break my ankles and shit. I'm fucked up shoes. But, Like, dude, I ain't gonna lie, man. If I was coming out now, and if I was like a top athlete, man, I would start with Adidas, man. Adidas got some good designs, man, on their shoes. Their shoes are fucking sick right now, man.
Not only that, man, Adidas is worldwide.
Yep.
Nike is just now breaking into a global market.
Yeah, man. Plus, Nike kind of, all Nike really has, man, is Jordan brand. Yeah. Like on their own, like their original, if you put their original shoes like toe-to-toe with the other copies, man, they lacking. They don't even look that good, man. They like shit. No. Like, man, they got some great designers, man, they hired for Adidas, man. I always use the new Adidas shoes. I'm not even a shoe head. And I look at Adidas shoes like, oh, that looks nice. I won't mind wearing them.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, and they're not that expensive.
Because they got designers from all over the world that's putting in work for them.
Yeah, clocking in, son.
Yeah, they don't mess around. That's a global brand, dude. Adidas is no joke. They've been ever since I can remember. I mean, even in hip hop, they've been a part. They're a cornerstone of hip hop. So, yep. You know, Run DMC, you know, just simple things like that, man, like just made them a global empire. Like Nike, yeah, you got, you know, Michael Jordan and, you know, LeBron here, there, but I mean, that's, you know, Kobe, you know.
Kobe's shoes suck. LeBron's shoes, they suck somewhat. Like some of his shoes are decent, but not all of them.
Yeah,
they look like ass. Kyrie's shoes look like ass. Like Kobe's shoes are ass. Like nobody's shoes look good, but Jordan's. Like, yeah.
The old Jordan.
The old Jordans, yeah. Like the new Jordans, like the those new Russell Westbrook shoes.
Yeah.
The shoes look like hot shit, man. Motherfuckers buying them though, cause they're Jordans.
Yeah.
Like, every time I pass by Wish. Everybody know who, if you're in Atlanta, you know what Wish is. Like, I drive by Wish every Saturday, come from the gym, and I just be looking at them like, what shoes y'all niggas waiting on now?
Yeah.
Because I never get the time. This one dude tried to rob the whole line because they waited on some LeBrons. I never get this shit. So the dude tried to rob the dudes in line because they waited on LeBrons, so they knew everybody at least had 250 on them. At least 250 on them.
Yep.
And come to find out, like, one of the dudes in line was packing and killed the dude, got back in line. They said he literally shot him, stood back in line, waited for the cops to get there, everybody vouched for him, and they went and bought the shoes.
Wow.
I would have left. I would have been like, man, fuck these shoes, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Man. Yeah, right. They this is the audacity for them just to stay.
Yeah.
That just shows how much of the sheep some people are, man. Like, you're still willing to, like, somebody's give you a warning. Guys, give you a warning. Whatever you believe in, give you a warning. Let you know, hey, you might need to leave.
Exactly.
And he's like, no, man, this plastic and this and these threads worth more of my life, man. What the?
You steadily moving in line while you watching the nigga cough up blood.
Yeah, man. They literally just watch him die, and they was just like, whatever. Come on, man. Just wait for them to open up. Get DJ, get LeBron, son.
I've been here for 36 hours. I ain't finna go home.
I ain't gonna go home now. The old LeBrons that were the Titus LeBrons that came out with Iron Man LeBrons and his first championship shoes when he won in Miami because they were like South Beach themed.
Yeah, them joints were bad.
Those shoes were fire. I ain't gonna lie, man. I was like, okay. And then the one he wore in the finals last year. Those were straight too. I ain't gonna lie, I like those. The ones he wore, they're all black with like the tone bottoms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are nice. But other than that, can't be risking life for some fucking shoes or anything.
Nah.
Inanimate, man.
Nothing that stupid.
Nothing that stupid. All right, that's it for the bullshit moment of the week. But let's go ahead and get to the topic.
Let's get it.
All right, the topic this week, man, I was just sitting up thinking, like, why are we such hypocrites?
Mm.
And the main reason that made me bring this up was because you know what Lala and Carmelo Anthony's going through, right?
Yeah.
So how about Lala is making a reality TV show about women that's in the game to extort married men or like athletes to get money from them. And that's what happened to her ass. That's why she potentially going through a divorce because of a side chick.
Of women like that.
Women like that, yeah. Like, why are we propping up people that conduct this sort of behavior?
Destroy lives,
but behind closed doors. Well, not behind closed doors, but out in public. I said that wrong. Oh, God. But out in public, we're just like, man, she a slut. She a hoe. Fuck them. Yada yada yada, and then like the woman that she's doing a show with, is supposedly broke up T.I. and Tiny's marriage.
Oh hell.
Yeah, now she's gonna be the main girl, so it's gonna just be like side. It's gonna be this is promoting the bullshit that we're trying to stop because it's okay, man. And the thing about it is people that are well educated know this is entertainment.
Yeah.
For the people that are not well educated, and then for our teenagers and our kids coming up, for young black females, they see this as a way to come up, especially the ones that don't really have any skills but are fine as hell. You could tell a girl.
Yeah.
You could tell when a girl is fine and she don't have any skills.
Yeah.
Because she just accentuates her looks to like the 10th degree.
Yeah.
You can't tell me any different, man, because they make sure their assets are seen at all times because they're trying to catch them a baller.
Oh, yeah.
It's all it's doing is just pretty much perpetuating the stereotype.
Yeah.
And just creating more hood rats.
Look at Instagram.
And slores. Like, man. Like, Instagram, man, you don't even need. Like, I remember one time I was just thinking, I was like, yeah, yesterday I was looking at, like, I was looking at Instagram. I was like, man, you don't really need porn. You got Instagram.
Pretty much, well, I guess for those who.
But it wants to see penetration.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Right.
Want to see some, you know, some dead on nipples.
Yeah, yeah. You want to see some shit getting sprayed.
Yeah, it's just. What?
You want to see some fluids flying. You know what I'm saying?
But yeah, man. That's what I'm saying. It was the same thing I was kind of talking about last week, you know, as far as, you know, the Atlanta Housewives and things. You know, we perpetuate that stuff all the time, but then, you know, we go right back around and look down on people who do that sort of stuff. Like, it's kind of like, as you were saying, if you're educated, you know what's going on. Yeah. But if you don't, then it becomes something that you live by. And, you know, things have gotten to a point where they don't mean as much anymore. Like for example, marriage doesn't mean anything anymore. Because, you know, a woman, if she knows that she can come up by, you know, disrupting somebody's household, she will do it. And will have no shame about it.
Yeah.
But, you know, to go and if this is happening to you, to go and make a show about that, like, that just lets me know that Lala don't have nothing else to do with her money but find a way to come up quick, I guess.
While she's going through this situation. Yeah,
I guess so she can, I guess it's free advertising or, you know, or free marketing or whatever.
Yeah, because she, so like, another thing I knew Lala wanted some bullshit. Well, maybe not, because Wallspace got money. But I knew she was kind of on some bullshit when she brought in Kim Kardashian as one of her advisors.
Come on,
while nigga. Doing this shit.
Come on, nigga. Come on.
Yeah, man. It's...
Who can she advise? If you want to know how to be, you know, the kind of girl that prey on men, men of means, then yeah, she's the perfect advisor.
Oh yeah, definitely.
But, you know, come on. Like, let's just face it. Like, your acting career probably ain't going like you think it should. So you gonna, you know, take your money and, you know, come up with more reasons for women to degrade themselves and devalue themselves.
And then man bashing.
Yeah.
Bashing men when some of them breaking up happy homes, be like, he ain't shit. I'm like, wait a minute.
Exactly. You caused the problem.
Yeah, you caused the problem. And then, like the dude, wasn't a man of morals to begin with if he's messing with you.
Yeah, exactly.
He's not really a man anyway, but I just kind of started not laughing, and I was like, man, this thing will get at least 5 seasons because people want to watch it because it's trash TV.
Yeah.
Like, that's all VH1 is trash TV, dude.
Yeah.
And Baby Boy and whatever popular movies out right now.
it's usually not no popular movies. It's probably like it's kind of circular. They play the same kind of movies over and over again. I guess it just depends on the season.
Yeah, how much money they spent on it? Because you know a network spent money on it when you like you see that movie like. Every other weekend,
yeah,
it'd be playing a whole weekend and be like no other original programming on.
No,
like man, y'all broke bread for that movie. Like, goddamn,
yeah.
Like that. Dang, what's that movie where? I know TNT paid a lot of money for this movie. It's the one where they're like in these big ass robots, and they're like, dang, these big ass robots, and they're like in the robots and like walking around, like doing dang it, god dog. If I wouldn't even thought about, I wouldn't know the name of the movie. But that movie, they pay a lot for because they're always showing it. And it'll come up to me when the damn show is off. Damn it!
Mm.
And they fighting big-ass monsters like Godzilla-type monsters. Shit. Well, fuck it. See how garbage this shit is? I don't even fucking know what it is. But yeah, man, I just think it's just a hypocrisy that we live in, man, on a daily basis, man. Where we'll say one thing, man, and we'll just constantly do the other.
Yeah, live another way.
We're just living double lives, man. Just so many people out here just wear masks all the time, man. If you had to expose your true self and if it doesn't reflect who you show out in public and you would die in that instant, we wouldn't have any people on this earth, man.
No.
Now we wouldn't. I know we'll still be here. I'm straight up asshole all the time. This shit never turns off.
Yeah.
I'm sort of a nice guy, man, but I just hate letting people in. And then when they find out I'm fun to hang around, they want to just suck up all my time. That's why I'm not really sociable, because I know I want to hang out, man.
And, I mean, that's the thing. That's the same thing with me. Like, I'm the exact same way. For instance, you know, because, like, I got off, you know, Friday, you know, so Saturday, naturally, you know, I just want to, you know, just chill and kind of, you know, just hang back with, you know, hang back and be in my zone.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess there's an opportunity for me to hang out with, I guess, some of my lady's family or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just like, I didn't want to do it. You know, it's not that, you know, I don't enjoy spending time with those people. It's just that I like being in my zone. I want to, you know, I want to kind of,
I know you're trying to say, you're trying to relax.
Yeah, I'm just trying to, you know, unwind from the week.
Yeah, there you go.
Because I can be, like, you know, I guess a somewhat social butterfly, you know, in the moment. Because, you know, I can, you know, keep a conversation going, you know, stir up a joke here or there. And, you know, that's cool. But I think when people find out about, you know, when people find out that, you know, you're cool to hang around, yeah, they want to be around all the time. And I, you know, you and I both, you know, live on the sentiment in which we don't need new friends.
Man, no new friends.
But yeah, it's weird. But back to being like, you know, hypocrites, dude. Like, you know, sometimes it's kind of easy to point the finger, and it's very easy to point the finger at somebody else for doing something, and then, you know, within the next 5 minutes, we find ourselves either thinking or you know, attempting to do the same thing. You know, people at church, you know, are exactly the same way. Like, you know, they will, you know, point the finger and tell you what you need to be doing, and, you know, and this whole time, you know, they're wearing a mask, but, you know, don't let you catch them doing something that they shouldn't be doing. And then, you know, next thing you know, a couple months go by, you don't see them no more.
Yep. Case in point, man. I remember it was a girl I was cool with. I remember I went to church with, her family.
Yeah.
And they was all up in church talking about, yeah, praise the Lord, yada, yada, yada. And I'm talking about, we didn't even get out the church parking lot. All you heard was, kill, douche, ka-clank. I hate that bitch. You saw what she had on? I was just sitting in the back of the truck. I was just like, y'all for real right now? Y'all just paid y'all tithes. Like, what's going
on? Yeah.
Yeah, man. She had it so much. I was just like, man. God. Like, church folks talking about church folk. Yeah, dude. It's... We just can't... We always gotta, like, talk behind each other's backs. We can't be open with each other. I think that's a problem, man. We're just not open enough.
Yeah. That and people, you know, don't want to hear the truth.
Oh, man. I know, like, it's one person that they ask me for advice all the time. And I used to tell them the truth. And they didn't want to hear it. And then after a while, I would sugarcoat it because I would just get tired of it.
I don't do that. Oh, yeah, I can't sugarcoat nothing.
And then after I sugarcoated it for a while, I was like, man, it's not helping the person out. So I went back to just telling the truth.
Yeah.
They just, like, stopped talking to me. I was just like, man, like, you can't live your whole life running away from the truth because we're back on it, man. You're gonna be depressed. You're gonna be like, man, if I only would have listened, or if I ever only would have. The problem is people ask for constructive criticism.
Yeah.
They don't want it.
Yeah. Well, they think they want it. It's never really what they want to hear.
Nah, man. Nope.
For example, I have a cousin who, like, we pretty much, we kind of used to talk a lot. Like, she would come to me about stuff, and, you know, me, I have no filter. I don't like to bullshit people.
Yeah.
You know, if you ask me what I think, I'm going to tell you. And that's just been, I guess, my issue is I tell people what they need to hear rather than what they want to hear. And, you know, to this day, I guess, like, she kind of, you know, makes comments to either her mom or my mom and say that we don't really talk no more. And like, she points the finger at me like it's my fault. Like, he don't talk to me no more. I was like, wait a minute. You the one that don't talk to me. Like, I'm not the only one that got fingers here. Like, yeah. you can call me anytime.
Wait a minute.
And, you know, it's just that I think when she saw that I wasn't gonna, you know, be a part of that pity party whenever something was not going right, you know, I would always challenge her to look in the mirror and see if she was doing everything that she needed to do in order to make sure that things were going to go as she thought they would. And more than likely she wasn't. So yeah, man, like, that's the thing. And it's kind of weird because sometimes when you are giving people advice, you kind of got to watch yourself too, because, you know, you definitely don't want to give somebody advice. You don't want to tell somebody how they're supposed to be living if you don't live that way. But it's kind of funny because you could be the scum of the earth and, you know, I guess if somebody knows that they're the scum of the earth, and yet they still try to tell somebody else, I guess, a way that they should live if it's in their best interest. I don't know, it's just kind of weird, dude. It's just, how do you do that?
Yeah, it's kind of just like Joe Mixon, like somebody coming to Joe Mixon for advice, or Joe Mixon telling somebody they need to calm down and just talk it out.
Yeah.
Be like, hey, man, you hit the broad, yada, yada, yada. But people understand you can also learn from your mistakes as well.
Exactly.
But that would be the case if, like, Joe Mixon was, like, still, like, you know, slanging bitches across tables and shit. Exactly. If that one on tape, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You were still doing it, then it'll be another issue.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I just brought the topic up just to say, like, man, just stay in your lane.
Yeah.
Like, if you know you're out here doing foul shit, man, and you see somebody else doing foul shit, shut the fuck up. All right, y'all, that's our show. Send this bitch home, ST.
Y'all, like always, man, we try to bring y'all that heat every week. You know, this week is no exception, man. We're really trying to bring it home to y'all all the time, man. We just want to let y'all know that we love y'all. We appreciate all the love and support that we're getting from all our Twitter followers, all of our Instagram followers, you know, everybody that's, you know, listening to the broadcast via iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Mac, you know, YouTube, all that, man. We want to tell y'all to keep it up and you know, continue to, you know, invite other people to come listen to the show, man, because, you know, our numbers are creeping up every week, you know, just bit by bit. So we, you know, we're trying to keep that going. Man, make sure that y'all continue to look out for, you know, stuff that we got coming up. We'll be letting you know about it, you know, coming up later, man. We got stuff coming down the pipeline. So just continue to look out for EC and ST. Like always, man, ignorance is not a handicap. It's a personal choice. And if there is no light, you must become the light. So be the light. I think that's about it, man. You got anything else?
1-877 cars for kids. KARS cars for kids. No, I'm just fucking around. All right, y'all. We'll see y'all next week.
All right, y'all. Episode number 55. We gonna holler at y'all next week. Don't be a hypocrite.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to Blank Canvas Podcast. We'll see you next week.